And right now, we're here to discuss it a little bit further with one of our analysts, where it has been a very eventful last week as the world witnessed Bitcoin fell nearly 14% to below $16,000 after near collapse of Sam Bankman-Fried's FTX, one of the world's largest crypto exchange, prompted a broad sell-off in crypto assets. Inflation goes down to 7.7% in the USA. Markets got excited and equities rallied. UK is officially in recession and Europe is struggling with higher energy prices. And we have ready with us on the line right now is Shan Syed, the chief economist, Juwai IQI. Thank you, Shan, for joining us today.
Thank you, Nina.
All right, Shan, I'm going to start with the Fed has raised rates for 4 successive time by 75 basis points. Markets got nervous and elated after inflation lowered. Do you think investors are celebrating too early and expecting the Fed to pause sooner than later? What's your opinion about investors' excitement?
Yes, Nina, you're absolutely right. Investors are celebrating too early. And investors, they are still living in delusion of grandeur, expecting that Fed will pause. We have 3 more meetings to come in the next 4 months. The immediate one is in December. The next one is in February 2023. And the second meeting is on 22nd March 2023. Right now, Fed has mentioned in the last week issue that Fed will raise rates as long as it feels it is required in the market. And what Jerome Powell is following is the same strategy what Paul Volcker did in 1980 to 1982. So I think markets are celebrating too early. The question is the pivot going to change? Will the Powell stop raising rates? Or they will continue to raise rates till 5 or 5.25%. In my opinion, Fed will continue to raise rates, and that will lead economy to a deep recession. And I still maintain my stance that global economy will not recover before 2026, 2027. Advanced economies, especially US, Europe, UK, Japan, they will face severe deep recession. And it will be very, very difficult for these policymakers to get the economy out of recession. So I think investors are celebrating too much. As far as inflation numbers are concerned, it is down to 7.7%. But on the flip side, the other side of the coin is US dollar index has gone down by 7% from September high. So when US dollar depreciates in the market, all the other commodities which are 90% traded in US dollar, they go up. Oil is already trading at $96 per barrel. I wouldn't be surprised the call that I made in July this year that oil prices will be ended around $110 to $150 per barrel by year end. If oil goes up, everything goes up. So I think inflation numbers are down temporarily, but I foresee inflation numbers will go up as oil prices go up and dollar depreciates further in the coming months. So I think it's too early to celebrate that inflation is down, Fed is going to pause. I don't see that happening in the near future.
All right, Shan, talking about celebration, I think the only small celebration, if we can talk about the third quarter for GDP, for Malaysian GDP. So what's actually the Fed thinking at the moment? According to Economist magazine last week, Issue Powell emphasised that the Fed would keep rates high for as long as it require. Have market price in a pivot before the end of 2023?
I think what Powell has said and what we have been sharing in this program and what IQI follows, we follow the debt market. And Fed has said, Powell has said specifically that Fed is thinking in lines of the bond market. So if you understand the bond market, you understand all the asset classes, whether it's equities, whether it's bond, whether it's housing market, whether it's commodities, whether it's currency market. So yields actually give you forward guidance, what is coming into the market. So if you read the latest article last week, Faster, Higher, Longer, in Economist magazine, Fed has clearly mentioned, as you said, that we will keep on raising rates as it is required. And Powell is following the same strategy of Paul Volcker. So I think markets will have some real shenanigans. Liquidity is getting squeezed. So because of the liquidity squeeze, we have been seeing last week was very eventful when FTX exchange collapse. The equity markets are still nervous because the liquidity is not coming into the market. And as long as Fed will keep on increasing interest rates, the market will have severe crunch of liquidity. A market runs on liquidity. So I think Fed will keep on raising rates. Right now it's between 3.75 and 4%. I wouldn't be surprised by first quarter of next year, Fed is going to touch 5%. And if inflation doesn't tame, I think Fed will increase interest rate further. And not only me, I think Larry Summers, one of the most respected economists in U.S., Larry is saying the same, that Fed is going to raise interest rates to 5% and is not going to stop anytime soon. So I think markets are in for a real shenanigans. So there will be a lot of turmoil, there will be a lot of chaos, bazooka, and meltdown in the equity market.
All right. So what is the preparation for the investors if you're saying they need to prepare for the bazooka in heat, Chan?
Nina, it's very simple. You read history. We are back to 1970. IQI was the first one in the market, one of the few people in November 2020. We mentioned about stagflation, and many of my friends in US and Europe, they could not believe what I was sharing, you know. So stagflation is back. What is stagflation? When you have higher inflation and lower growth, and many economies are facing this situation right now. So if you read history in 1970, what happened? And it came in Wall Street Journal as well on 31st July. There was a very nice article. How do you protect your wealth in times of stagflation? There are only two asset classes. One is real estate and the other is gold. Because US dollar will depreciate from here onwards. And if US dollar depreciates, how are you going to protect your wealth? I think the only way is to take position in tangible assets. You will be surprised to know a tech gentleman by the name of Bill Gates. He's taking position in farmland, in agriculture. Bill Gates has invested $786 million in 18 states in U.S. because next year there will be a crisis in agriculture because weather patterns are changing. The markets are in for a real turmoil. Demand is going up. There's constraints in supply. So I think agriculture, farmland, arts, real estate, gold, silver, oil and gas, these asset classes can protect your wealth. Because 2023 will be tougher than 22, 2024 will be tougher than 2023. Global economy will only recover in 2026, 2027, not before that.
And how about the big news in the market? FTX filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy with big investors like Ontario Teachers Fund, Temasek of Singapore and SoftBank, to name a few, got burned with collapse of FTX. Can you share us your thought on this?
Nina, FTX collapse brings pain and schadenfreude. What we have seen this year, the theme has been, you know, the chaotic dalliance with cryptos and Federal Reserve cautious approach to increasing interest rates. I think these two themes will continue for the next 1 to 2 years. And the way things are happening, cryptos, I have always said crypto is like a mathematical equation in space. There's nothing tangible. And I have maintained this stance since 2016. And a lot of people have criticized me that it's an asset class. Then people say this is an asset class. It means they're living in delusion of grandeur. They don't really understand what is happening. So what we have seen in market right now, the Wall Street Journal top page, front page story, the golden boy turned into villain. And Sam Bankman has fled U.S. and he's sitting in Bahamas. And imagine, this is a perfect part two of Bernie Madoff. When Bernie Madoff ran a Ponzi scheme in 2008, I was in Chicago and I still remember. When the scandal broke out in U.S., nobody believed that because everybody was dying to invest with Bernie Madoff. And this scandal of FTX is just $32 billion. Bernie Madoff will double the size of this. It was $64 billion. And by March 2009, he was already in jail and he was convicted. So I think this FTX exchange scandal is not the first one, not the last one. We will have many more scandals in next year as well. And again, it boils down to one thing, and that is greed. And again, greed comes when you have economic pressures. FTX exchanges had less than $1 billion in liquid assets, and they had to pay $9 billion of liability. Common sense says it was about to collapse, and exactly it happened. So I think it is coming down to economics everywhere. When people, they don't have jobs, they don't have food, they don't have sense of purpose to their life, it's an excruciating agony. So I think we will have more and more of these scandals in 23, and during recession, we have seen that more and more scandals and frauds, they take place, especially in advanced economies.
All right, let's take the local numbers. Malaysian GDP growth for third quarter stood at 14.2%, as I've presented, one of the highest in Asian region. It's a super nice surprise expected in the market. Is it a good signal to the global investors that Malaysia maintains strong macroeconomic outlook and stability, considering that foreign investors is looking at us all the time, and they are benchmarking us between the neighbouring markets? What about this, Sean?
Yes, Nina, saying all credit goes to Malaysian government, the way they have maintained macroeconomic stability and investors' confidence remain very high in the economy. That's why Malaysian economy has achieved one of the highest GDP numbers in the ASEAN region, ahead of Vietnam, ahead of Singapore, ahead of Thailand, Indonesia. It clearly reflects and sends positive signals to the market that government is ready for business and they want to have more expansion in GDP size. At the start of the year, we said that Malaysia's GDP will be between 4 and 5%. On 12th August, we revised our figures and we said Malaysia's GDP will be between 6.5 and 7%. But I think by year end, we expect now Malaysia's GDP will be above 9%, taking into account the macroeconomic stability, investors' confidence, strong domestic demand, FDI coming into the country, and most importantly, countries run on trade and commerce. I think Maida and Miti, they have done a great job. $257 billion in trade is on the upsurge. Trade surplus is positive. And moreover, I think Bank Negara, the governor Bank Negara, deserves the credit the way she has handled monetary stability. And I've said in many of your programs, if you can survive 2020 and 2021, which is a COVID year, you can survive anything. I think more as we move to 2023, it will be a tough year. But the way Bank Negara has maintained monetary stability, monetary landscape remains very stable in Malaysia. As compared to look at advanced economies, they are raising rates to 75 and 100 and 150 basis points. That shows that central bank governors in advanced economies are panicking because inflation remains very high. And on the other hand, inflation in Asia is still single digit, and the governors of various central banks are still in control of the economy. They have maintained the mandate of price stability, growth stability, and employment stability. So I think the government, policymakers, and Bank Negara, they have done a good job. And I think it clearly reflects the government's commitment to maintain economic growth and to have economy on the upsurge.
All right, thank you. I want to say thank you very much to Sean Said, the Chief Economist Jua IQI, for helping us understand the trend and the landscape of the macroeconomic outlook.